This is the Space Show here on 88.3 Sullen FM. Come on without, come on within. You will not see nothing like the mighty wind. Come on without, come on within. You will not see nothing like the mighty wind. Everybody's building ships and jotting down notes. Everybody's in despair, every girl and boy. But when Quinn the Eskimo gets here, everybody's gonna jump for joy. Welcome to the Space Show, presented by members of the Space Association of Australia. Hello, I am Andrew Rennie. What, I hear you ask, has the mighty Quinn got to do with the Space Show? Well, after a meandering tale, we will get there.
The Space Show, bringing the universe home to the Bayside, Wednesday evenings at 7 p.m.
Does this name mean anything to you? NGC 2392. Well, what about Eskimo Nebula? This is the remains of a star that exploded 10,000 years ago. To the casual eye, it looks like a person's head surrounded by a furry parka hood, as worn by the Inuit peoples in the Arctic. The nebula was discovered in 1787 by astronomer William Herschel. In the New General Catalogue of Nebulous Objects, it is number 2392. On August the 11th, the International Astronomical Union's Working Group on Star Names decided to discontinue the use of the nickname Eskimo, as it is perceived as offensive by some people. 6 days earlier, on August the 5th, the United States' National Aeronautics and Space Administration had announced that it would re-examine its use of nicknames for cosmic objects. As an initial step, NASA said that it would no longer refer to NGC 2392 as the Eskimo Nebula. The agency also announced that the merging galaxies NGC 4567 and 4568, commonly called the butterfly galaxies, will no longer be referred to as Siamese twins. Which reminds us that in its August 14 edition, the Australian newspaper ran with the headline, "Cancel culture hits space as NASA gets woke and drops colonial nicknames." The terms cancel culture and woke are frequently used as derogatory terms on Australia's Sky News. This cancel culture has even affected the ice cream industry. This is an Australian advertisement from 1986.
Eskimo.
There's nothing like you, nothing like an Eskimo.
Eskimo.
There's nothing like you, nothing like an Eskimo pie.
Eskimo pie. Peter's Ice Cream has been making it in Australia since 1923. The confection was developed in 1920 in the USA by Christian Nelson. In addition to Eskimo pies, New Zealand had chocolate bombs, which were a cylinder of ice cream covered in chocolate, served with a separately sourced cone. Now, if you love eating Eskimo pie ice creams, you better hurry up. Although Peter's Ice Creams website still lists them as being available and lists their ingredients, in June it was announced the name would be changed. These news reports from the United States.
Well, the ice cream treat Eskimo Pie now getting a new name. Officials with the ice cream brand saying that the company realizes the term Eskimo is derogatory. The chocolate-covered vanilla ice cream has been around for 100 years, just about. It's now joining brands like Aunt Jemima, Uncle Ben's, in getting a new name because its old name is perceived to be racially offensive. Eskimo Pie going to be getting a new look as well.
Eskimo Pie joins other brands that are changing names and images. Dreyer's Grand Ice Cream says it will rename its Eskimo Pie brand. America's first chocolate-covered ice cream bar was introduced back in 1921 and features an Eskimo character on the box. According to the Alaska Native Language Center, the word Eskimo is considered derogatory and was said to mean eater of raw meat.
Another popular brand is changing its name out of concern that it's racially offensive. After nearly 100 years, Eskimo Pie Ice Cream will get a new name. The chocolate-covered ice cream bar joins brands such as Aunt Jemima and Uncle Ben's in altering their image out of concern that it could be derogatory.
As part of my research for this story, I went to my local shops and bought a box of Eskimo Pies. It has been 40 years since I last ate one. Now I know why. They don't have a stick. Here's an American drive-in cinema advertisement from the 1960s.
Symbol of a treat that quality made famous. America's most famous ice cream treat, Eskimo Pie. Creamy, delicious ice cream made even more exciting with smooth, rich chocolate coating. And wearing the label of quality, known the world over. Eskimo Pie, the treat you know is Tops because it carries its pledge of quality right on the back of the bag. Be sure you save the bags for valuable premiums. Get famous Eskimo Pie at our refreshment stand now. It's America's anytime taste treat. Finest ice cream, finest chocolate. It's delicious.
That same NASA Gets Woke article in the August 14 edition of the Australian newspaper also calls attention to another silly story on the news.com.au website. To quote, "People are freaking out after discovering they may have been following the wrong star sign for years. The panic among Zodiac fans comes after experts at NASA announced the stars had shifted, creating a 13th sign." Well, the Australian television shows, quite a few of them, eagerly jumped on the story. For example, Channel 9.
Horoscope readers the world over may be having a bit of an identity crisis this morning. A NASA blog from 4 years ago gaining traction online, pointing to the fact that there's a 13th constellation that's not used in the zodiac. The inclusion of Ophiuchus, the snake bearer, Ophiuchus, Carl, would cover those born between November 29 to December 17. It's the sign the Babylonians chose to leave out when they invented the signs all those thousands of years ago. I'm November 28th. That's my birthday, so I just miss out on that.
Right.
Ophiuchus.
So luckily you haven't been living a lie your whole life.
That's very true. Yeah, my identity is intact, which is nice.
People really get into the star signs. Were you into it?
Yeah. I mean, you kind of read it every now and again, but not into it.
They used to do it on the radio, like Aries, blah, 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 you know, and people are fully into it. Let us know what you think about Ophiuchus this morning.
You just got to be really careful saying that this morning.
Ophiuchus.
Oh, look, you got that glint in your eye.
Uh-oh. I'm going to be saying it all morning.
I know you will.
Well, did you catch the mention that the story was 4 years old?
A NASA blog from 4 years ago gaining traction online.
Yes, here is a story from Columbia Broadcasting System in Philadelphia. Dateline, 2016, September.
You may have heard rumors that NASA has introduced a 13th constellation. Fact, they did. But is it fact or fiction that the original 12 that line with our astrological signs will then shift to?
I feel 100% like a Virgo. So for this to say that all of a sudden I'm Leo.
To further explain if this new constellation will give us all new signs, we sought the expertise of astrologist Juna Wotan and astronomer Derek Pitts. Let's start first with what makes a constellation.
Our classic definition of a constellation is a group of stars organized in such a way as to describe a story or to depict a picture. That's how we classically think of a constellation. Nowadays, modern astronomy identifies a constellation as an area of the sky that includes the stars that have the story or the picture that we typically associate with them.
Those pictures or constellations making up the 12 zodiac signs. Now, would an astrologist count this new constellation and cause a change in your chart?
So to have 13, I don't know where they get the idea of to use that. Because it does not fall into the systems that really work so well. There are different aspects of astrology, you know, that don't exactly line up with the astronomy, but it doesn't mean that the systems don't work.
What an astronomer?
It's really the separation between identifying this as a belief system versus science. That new constellation, it's always been there. It's just that we only have 12 months. If we count the constellation that's in there, we'd have 13 zodiac constellations, and we only have 12 months. So we need another month.
Deep hits.
I love how he just breaks it down. It's so great.
That's our man.
He's the man.
Yes,
so
indeed.
No new sign, and everyone still is what they are, and I can hear all the sighs of relief all over
That's
Philadelphia.
That's right. Leo's in the house. Leo, yeah. Right
Leo's
here.
Virgo just over here.
Okay.
Kate, what are you?
Gemini.
Gemini. Okay. Oh, we have a smorgasbord of signs.
Indeed we do.
But all good news today, you guys. All good news.
Very good.
Did you notice the error at the start of that report? NASA has introduced a new constellation.
You may have heard rumors that NASA has introduced a 13th constellation. Fact, they did.
In fact, they didn't. From 2016, here is an explanation of how the zodiacal constellations have changed since they were named 3,000 years ago.
Reports blame NASA for creating chaos with your star sign. But there are two good reasons for the change. And neither is NASA's fault. It's a result of Earth's orbit around the Sun, which traces a plane called the ecliptic that passes through 13 constellations. Over 1 year, the Sun moves in between Earth and each of the 13 different constellations. The constellation that the Sun is in on your birthday determines your star sign. But there's a catch. The ancient Babylonians wanted only 12 signs to match their 12-month calendar. So they left off the 13th sign, the constellation Ophiuchus. Adding it back in causes some of the chaos. But the biggest change actually comes from the Earth itself. The Earth wobbles on its axis, taking 26,000 years to complete one rotation, which slowly changes which constellations the Sun is in. And it's been 3,000 years since the Babylonians, which means a big shift in the calendar dates matching each sign. For example, if you were born on March 21st, 3,000 years ago, you would have been an Aries. But today, you would be a Pisces. NASA pointed this out on Tumblr and on an educational page for kids. But don't blame it for changing your sign. Astrology isn't science, so read whichever horoscope you want. The stars won't mind.
There are 88 constellations approved by the IAU, the International Astronomical Union. The Sun moves through 13 of these. Of the 88, Ophiuchus is the 11th largest. Of the 13 on the zodiac, it is the third largest, bettered by Virgo and Aquarius. The shapes of the constellations and their mythologies have had impacts in our popular culture. Here is a poem by Stephanie Witovic, written in 2015. It has astrological references. It is read for us by Ciro Faenza.
Constellations formed in the space between us. Our stairs locked as I fell into the celestial trance his brown eyes carried me in. Aries and Cancer, the Ram and the Sun. Had I known what the stars held for us, I would have locked myself away in another galaxy, in another time. But the universe needs its paintings, and our energy gave new madness to what fate punched into the sky at night.
The fact that this story is thousands of years old and was publicized in 2016 didn't stop Australia's Channel 10 from pushing this stale barrow. Nor did it stop Channel 9 from doing another piece, roping in local astronomer Perry Vlahos.
Zodiac signs have been around for thousands of years, but there's a new star emerging. Long consulted for everything from relationships to good fortune, the discovery means all our star signs could change. Alan Raskell explains.
There's always been 12 zodiac signs, but is the snake-bearing Ophiuchus the 13th? Astronomers have long been aware of the constellation.
This isn't a new thing, but it appears that astrologers don't like to admit the existence of it, so that they skip the constellation that lies between Scorpius and Sagittarius.
If the new sign is taken into account, it had changed the zodiac dates. Capricorn would now be January 20 to February 16. Aquarius would run till March 11. Pisces until April 18. Aries to May 13. Taurus moves out to June 21. Then Gemini until July 20. Cancer stretches to August 10. Leo to September 16. Virgo until October 30. Libra to November 23, Scorpio ends 6 days later. Ophiuchus then runs from November 29 until December 17, Sagittarius rounding out the zodiac year. Astronomers look at constellations, but astrologers say the signs are based around the sun, disputing the 13th sign.
The way we do it in the West, it has nothing to do with the constellations per se.
Despite the zodiac war, for many, reading their daily horoscope will continue to be a daily ritual. And whether you believe astronomers or astrologers, it seems the truth is out there somewhere. Alan Raskell, Nine News.
You will have noticed pronunciations of our rogue constellation have been quite various. Well, here is a definitive version.
We are looking at how to pronounce the name of this large constellation straddling the celestial equator. Of course, this is also a zodiac sign. How do you go about pronouncing it? Ophiuchus. Ophiuchus. The constellation of Ophiuchus. The Ophiuchus zodiac sign. Ophiuchus.
50 years ago, I became annoyed at being persistently asked what my star sign was. Knowing that the questioner would use my answer to mentally typecast me, I began to say Ophiuchus. This confounded all but those with an intimate knowledge of astronomy. I once had a friend who was into both astronomy and astrology. To help make his astrological predictions, he bought a personal computer for about $5,000. That's late 1970s dollars, the time when personal computers were a much desired but unaffordable object. But his astrology failed him. He allowed the local newspaper to run a story about himself, the computer, and astrology. A few days later, he was burgled and the computer vanished. His astrological chart had not predicted this catastrophe. At the start of our show, I did promise you a meandering tale. In 1960, a film called The Savage Innocents was made. It starred Anthony Quinn and Yoko Tani as two Inuits and told the story of culture clash as their ways met European ones. Here's a little taste of it.
Well, Aninuk, who do you like better, Imina or Ajak?
Our decision is difficult. This man likes both women. Why choose?
You must make up your mind. You'll never get a wife.
When I saw this film in 1960, I was impressed by the splendid icy scenery and by the foot-warming technique of Yoko Tani. Bob Dylan was also impressed by Anthony Quinn's performances and wrote his song in his honour. In 1967, this was recorded by Manfred Mann. The Mighty Quinn became a hit.
Everybody's gonna jump for joy.
And there we have it, a woke tale of the Eskimo Nebula, of Eskimo pies, and of the 13th zodiacal constellation. I'm Andrew Rennie, and if you ask my star sign now, well, for the past decade I've been saying Valorum. Now go figure that out.